Again, I just want to say what a privilege it is to be able to stand here and proclaim God's Word. I thank Pastor for letting me have this opportunity. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity. I just want to say this morning that I love you. I care for each one of you. I know a lot of times when the times that I've stood up here before, I get a little long-winded. Y'all may not care for that, and I'm sorry. The Lord is giving me things to say. He lays a message on my heart, and it's just kind of hard for me to stop. You know, Pastor gets up here and he preaches week after week, and I only get a shot every now and then, and it's kind of hard for me to stop. But I wish y'all would pray for me. I'm going to try to, if I can, keep it down a little bit. I'll try not to get too long-winded, but just pray that the Lord will give me wisdom this morning and what to say and how to say it. As I said, I love you this morning. And my desire is for each one of us to grow in the knowledge, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for you that here this morning that are lost, I have a burden for you, that you'd come to know the Lord. The Lord's done a lot for me. I just want to give a brief testimony this morning before I get going of what the Lord's done for me. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina. I was the youngest of four brothers, and I was kind of the run of the litter, so to speak. All my other brothers are bigger than I am. I wasn't a bad kid, so to speak, when I was growing up. I stayed out of trouble. Now, I'm not minimizing my sin, because I was born in sin. The Bible says that I was shaping in iniquity. From my mother's womb, I was a sinner when I came forth. But, you know, we have a tendency, you know, we compare ourselves to one another. You know, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm not like this old drunk down here in the gutter. You know, I'm pretty good. But, you know, when we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we don't match up. But I was taught right from wrong. I knew the things that I should do, knew the things that I shouldn't do. And I didn't go to church much. Very little did I ever go to church when I was growing up. Especially when I got out of high school. When I got out of high school, that's when I rebelled. Most kids rebel when they're in their teens. But I didn't really rebel until I got out of high school. And that's when I started going downhill. I did some bad things before I ever got out of high school. We used to do some things, and if I'd ever catch my boys doing what I used to do, I'd beat the daylights out of them. My parents didn't really have any much restraint over me. They didn't really tell me to stay home or set any guidelines for me, so to speak. I pretty much roamed around quite a bit, me and my buddies. But when I got out of high school, that's when I was in with the wrong crowd. I started drinking. I let my hair grow out. I was hanging around with the hippie crowd. I started smoking marijuana, not to a great extent. But I didn't want to go any further than that. Back when I was growing up, it was back during the time they had LSD and all the things like that. And I was afraid of that stuff. I didn't want to get into that. But I started getting further and further away from God. I had family members, cousins that were preachers. But the things of God had no interest for me. I wanted to do what I wanted to do regardless of what anybody thought. My mama always used to get on me about my hair. I said, "Mama, it's my hair. I've got a right to wear it the way I want to wear it." And I was staying in the house at this time. I hadn't moved out on my own yet. But I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I didn't want anybody else telling me otherwise. I mean, I was rebelling more and more and more. But you know, the life that I was living, I was laughing on the outside. But you know, on the inside, I was miserable. I had no peace with myself. I had no peace with other people. And most of all, I didn't have any peace with God. And even though I was laughing on the outside, I was miserable on the inside. But the Lord was merciful to me. The Lord, throughout my time after, I guess, even before I graduated from high school, I guess, it seems there was a friend of mine, we used to go out walking at night and just talk. And it never failed. I'd always run into this preacher. He was always out knocking on doors. And it seemed like every time we'd be walking around someplace, we'd run across this preacher. Say, oh, no, there's that guy again. And we'd try to get away from him. But he'd always catch us, it seems like, and always preach to us. And we'd just go through the motions. Yeah, yeah, I believe, you know, and all this stuff, just to get him off our backs. I made a lot of professions when I was younger, but it was just to get the preacher off my back. But you know, the seed was lodged in my heart. Now, the Lord didn't have to send that preacher my way. The Lord could have just let me go on, just let me go on in my sin, and who knows where I'd be at today. I used to say I never drink when I drive and drive when I drink. But I started to do that. Slowly, but slowly, I was going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. But one day, the Lord in His mercy, He sought me out. You know, the Lord's not going to drag us to Himself, but He sure knows how to make us willing. I just finally got tired of my sin. I finally got tired of the life that I was leading. I was just being tossed to and fro. I had no direction in my life whatsoever. But the Lord convicted me of my sin, and I grew tired of my sin. I didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. And the Lord brought me to a place of repentance. And I'm glad for what the Lord's done for me. Now, He may have done more for you, but He's done a lot for me. Now, I joke with some of you a lot about me being shy, and y'all just kind of laugh and think I'm crazy. But I really am. In high school, I mean, to stand up and give a book report or something, or a book report, or stand in front of a group of people, forget it. But folks, the Lord saved me. He gave me something. And I don't get it out near as much as I ought to. But the Lord has given me something. I'm still shy to a certain degree, but I've opened up a lot since the Lord saved me. The Lord's done something for me. And what I want to speak on this morning is out of Psalm chapter 40. I've quoted this verse lots of times, but I want to read the first five verses of Psalm chapter 40. It says that I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned upon up in order unto us. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And this verse here in verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. As blood-bought sinners here this morning, that's what the Lord has done for each one of us. Now, the Bible describes here that we were brought up out of a pit. We were in a pit of sin when we were lost. In our sin, we were in a pit. The Bible describes this pit here as being horrible. It's being desolate. It's a place that's been laid waste. The word has a meaning tumult, uproar, and noise. And our lives as sinners, before we were saved, this describes it. We were desolate. Everything was laid waste. Everything was barren in our lives. There was no fruit. There was a lot of tumult. Now, I grew up with a lot of tumult. A lot of things in my life that seemed like there was always friction on every hand. I never got into a fight, but I was around people that did. And I was around a lot of people that were always getting themselves in trouble, getting in fights. So a lot of uproar. So a lot of noise. And that's the picture of the sinful life that a person lives. It's just a bunch of noise, a bunch of uproar. There's no peace. My God, saith my God to the wicked. A sinner has no peace in his life. But it's described here as being horrible. Now, you know, Daniel was thrown into a pit of lions. Joseph was thrown into a pit. But our pit that we were thrown into was horrible. The Bible says here that also out of the miry clay. Now, this miry clay was probably at the bottom of the pit. Miry is something sticky. It's something stinky. Mire is a place where the hogs live. Now, when I think of miry clay, I don't particularly think of the red clay here in Georgia. The first thought that comes to my mind is the mud in Mexico. Now, we've been to some little villages in Mexico, and you have to go up, especially I think it's in Seis de Enero, where Brother Cruz preaches. You have to go up a dirt road to get to where he's at. And we've been through that place a lot of times after a big rain. And you have to go through a lot of mud and a lot of mire to get to where we're going to preach. And you go into some of these little small villages and it doesn't smell good. It really doesn't. But you get into that stuff and you can't hardly get out. I remember as a boy, there was a field that we were crossing. Me and some other friends were crossing this field. And it was a lot of mud. And I got stuck. And I couldn't get out. And I had a friend to come over and just pick me up and pull me. And my feet came out of my shoes. That stuff was so sticky. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 38, this pit that we were in is deep. It says here that then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchi, the son of Hamalek, that was the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now this pit is deep. And when I think of a pit, I think of it being deep. I think of it being dark. But we see here that Jeremiah was thrown into the pit. There was no water. Now here about 2 years ago, Jeff and I took a stroll in the Chesapeake River. Now, I don't like walking out in water like that because I can't swim too good. But he took me out with him. Come on, let's. I thought we were going to cross it. But instead, we got out into the middle and we started going upstream. We couldn't go back because the water was rushing so fast. But the problem was he had on tennis shoes. I had on boots. And my boots filled up with water. And I couldn't move. I mean, I was stuck. I wasn't stuck in any mire, but I was just stuck. I couldn't go anywhere. I only had two choices. I thought about just diving in backwards and just going downstream and maybe floating over to shore. But I didn't know if I was going to hit my head on a rock or what was going to happen. So I didn't particularly, the water was cold too. The water was up to about waist deep on me. I only had one other choice. And that was Jeff. And Jeff had a stick, a big old long stick. And all I could do was he held on the stick with one hand, I had to hold on to the other end. And we'd go a little ways. We had to go upstream in order to get out. But in a sense, what I had to do was I had to place my confidence in Jeff holding that stick. Now, Jeff's only got one arm. That complicates matters a bit. I mean, at least a man, if he's got two arms, if he loses his balance, he can, you know. But we made it out, and I don't particularly want to do that again. But what I'm saying is we're in this pit. It's a horrible pit. It's sticky. It's deep. And we can't get out on our own. The Bible says that the pit is deep. It's dark. Now, one reason we can't get out on our own, the Bible says, I'm talking spiritually speaking, the Bible says that our minds are blinded. It says that the God of this world has blinded our minds. Now, being blinded of our minds, we can't think right. And we just don't know how to get out. We think of other ways of trying to get out, but they're the wrong ways. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But man has to try himself to save himself, to get his own self out. He's got to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. Man thinks to himself, I've got to do it. But God says that our minds are blinded. It says that our eyes are blinded. We can't see straight. We can't see. We're blind. We don't know how to get out because we're blind. We can't see the way out. The Bible says that our hearts, in a sense, are blinded. Our hearts are hardened. We don't care about the things of God. We don't want God to help us. We want to do it ourselves. It's our stubborn pride. And the Bible says that pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And if you're here this morning and you're proud, you're headed for a fall. But our minds are blinded. Our eyes are blinded. Our hearts, our hands are lame. They're maimed. We can't hold on. Our legs are lame. We can't walk right. So we're in this pit. We're blinded, we're maimed, and we can't get out on our own. Since we can't get out on our own, we're doomed to the pit. Now there's some phrases in the Bible that says, but go down into the pit, which denotes dying without hope. And if you're in the pit of sin, you're going to die without hope. To die, to dig a pit is to plot mischief. But a pit is a place of great discomfort. And if we saw there with Jeremiah being let down into the pit, there was no water. You get into the pit, you're going to starve. Now when they put Joseph down into the pit, Joseph could have died in that pit. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of God, that the Midianites came and took him out. Now, he could have died in there. But a pit is a place of great discomfort. Can you imagine being in the mire, in the stench, in the filth of a miry pit. But that's an adequate description of a lost sinner this morning. We stink in the nostrils of God. Sin has just gotten us dirty from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. But God is a holy God. He can't look upon sin. And as Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they stunk in the nostrils of God. And God had to cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And because of our sin, God has built a wall. There's a wall in between us and God. Because God is holy and He can't look upon sin. But a pit is a place of burial. It's a prison. And it's a place of destruction. And as sinners in the pit, we're bound. We can't do nothing to get out. We're bound hand and foot. We're in the prison. We can't get out on our own. There's no hope. Seemingly, there's no hope. And in my life, as I was growing up, as the burden of sin was stronger on me, it seemed like there was no hope for me. A lot of times I'd go to bed, I'd be afraid. I'd have nightmares. I'd afraid I'd die in my sleep and go to hell. But it seemed like in my life there was no hope, no hope, no hope. But the Bible says here, in Psalm 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. We've seen a description of the pit. We've seen that we're doomed in the pit. But we see this morning a deliverance from the pit. It seems like in the pit there was no hope. No hope of ever getting out. Over in 2 Corinthians. If I can find it. I was reading it in another Bible. Yes. It says in verse 4 of chapter 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It says in verse 6, but God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. When I thought there was no hope, when I was in the darkness of the pit, blind and could not see, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine in my heart. The Lord opened my eyes. The Lord took the blindness away from my mind. It says here we can have deliverance from that pit, but it's by the Lord. It says here that He inclined unto me. Now this word inclined, when I think of inclined, I think of something, you know, of leaning over, not necessarily reclining when you're back in a recliner, sitting back. But inclining is you're leaning over. And this word has several different meanings. Meaning bowed down, means to go down, to let down, outstretched, or stretched forth. And this morning, as we were in that bondage, in the pit of sin, the only way we could get out is for the Lord to incline unto us. And that's what He did. As we were in that mire, we were stuck. We couldn't move. We couldn't go any place. The Lord, in His mercy and in His grace, He reached down to where we were and pulled us out. We don't have the strength in ourselves to pull anybody else out. But the Lord is all powerful. The Lord has the power to do it. He is the only one that can do it. And if you're this morning, you're stuck in your sin. If you're in the bottom of that pit and you can't get out, It's the Lord that can reach down and grab you and pull you out. He does it. It's done by the Lord. It's done by His love. He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. It's a cry of sorrow. It's a cry of godly sorrow. Not just sorrow for maybe doing something wrong and just being put in there because you did something wrong. And just, you know, you just saw you got caught. It's not that kind of sorrow. But it's a godly sorrow, as it says over in 2 Corinthians, a godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation. Not a sorrow of this world, but it's a godly sorrow. He heard my cry of sorrow, of godly sorrow, and He heard my cry of repentance. And if you're in the pit this morning, the Lord can lift you out. But not only does He just brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, He didn't just bring me up and just let me go. But He did something for us. It says here that He brought us up and He set my feet upon a rock. And this word set means has to do with lifting up, raising up, rearing up, establishing, strengthening, and upholding. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, being rooted and built up in Christ Jesus. As we think of this being set on a rock, we see here a term used in farming about being rooted. Now, you know, when a plant is, when that seed is planted into the ground, that seed is dead. But it's God that gives life to that seed. God breathes on that seed, and that seed all of a sudden just, poof, just bursts forth. Thing busts open. All of a sudden, what's inside that seed starts coming forth, and it just starts shooting its way up out of the ground. And then that thing pops up. But the roots, digging deeper and deeper. You think of a big oak tree. As that thing pops through the ground, it starts growing. Year after year, that thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But the roots keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Once He's delivered us out of that pit of bondage, He wants us to grow. It's like the seed, as the Bible talks about the sower that sows the seed. Some seed was sowed in shallow ground. It sprung up. The heat hit it. And it died out. It didn't have any root. But the seed that was planted in good ground, it has root. And it's getting nourishment from the ground and the minerals. And it comes up through the roots into the plant. And the plant grows and flourishes. And that's what the Lord does for us. He sets us upon a rock. He establishes us. He strengthens us. He strengthens us. He upholds us. But our roots go down. And they've got something to hold on to. And so when the winds come, when it blows against that tree, it can blow and it can blow and it can blow. But the roots are dug deep down and it won't fall over. But it's not only a term used in farming, but it's a term used in construction. Not only are we to be rooted, but we're to be built up in Him. We see here a foundation. We see a true foundation. It says in Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious foundation, a stone, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. It says in Matthew 7:24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we know that when the storms came, the house did not blow away. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Timothy
2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." We have here a true foundation. It's Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." In Acts 4:11, "This is the stone," referring to Jesus, "which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now, I haven't done much building. I've been around people that build. Brother Ray's building a house. Other people here have had houses built. But you have a foundation. And when people build a building, they have a cornerstone, and then they build around that cornerstone, and they build up from that foundation. But that foundation gives strength and security. And this morning, the Lord Jesus is our chief cornerstone. He is our foundation. And if we're built upon Him, it doesn't matter what storms come our way, what trials beset us, we're safe and secure in Him. Now, it may be here this morning that your foundation is on a false foundation. Your hope and your trust that you have in your heart this morning, it might be on a false foundation. The Bible says that surely, in Psalm 73:18, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction." Now in your sin this morning, if you're still lost and without Christ in this world, you're in a slippery place. You're in a slippery place. Proverbs 23:24, "Yea, thou shalt be as one that doth lie down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast." Says in Jeremiah 23:12, "Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven out and fall therein. For I will bring evil unto them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord." In Ezekiel 13:10, it says, "And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it." In Matthew 7:26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." If you're here this morning, you're trusting in a false foundation. You're in a slippery place. You're headed for a fall. You're headed for destruction. If this morning you're here, you're trusting in a false foundation of man, the Bible says that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Jeremiah 17:5 said, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." You might be here this morning. You're trusting in riches. The Bible says in Job 31:24, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said unto the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten rich, this also was an iniquity to be punished by the judge." Psalm 52:7, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness." Proverbs 18:11 says, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit." And we know in Luke 12:19, the man that hath had many goods, he said, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world. In Proverbs 21:17, it says, He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Maybe this morning you're trusting in, many people are trusting in weapons. In 1 Samuel 17:45, David said that he come not with sword or spear or shield, but he came in the strength of the Lord, as when he met Goliath. Psalm 44:6 warns against trusting in the bow or the sword. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in horses and some in chariots. But David said he trusts in God. Maybe this morning you're trusting in yourself. Proverbs 28:26 says that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Hosea 10:13, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. First Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now if you're here lost this morning, your trust and your confidence is in a false foundation. But the Lord, when he brings us out, when he delivers us out of that pit, he sets us on a true foundation, a sure foundation, and we can have hope, we can have peace and security that no matter what comes our way, everything's going to be all right. We have a lifting up, a laying down. We have a leading out. It says here that he will establish my goings. He brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, before I was saved, I was just being tossed to and fro, just following the crowd. I had no direction in my life. I didn't know which way to go. But the Lord, when he saved me, he's given me a direction to follow. And wherever the Lord leads me, I want to follow him. I want to do what he wants me to do. Whatever he leads me through, I want to go that way. Now he's gone before us to prepare the way for us. So no matter where he leads us, everything's going to be all right. It don't matter what kind of heartache we go through, what kind of sorrow we go through, what kind of trials we go through. Everything's going to be all right. Because he's our hope. He's our confidence. He's our security. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear what man can do unto us. No one's ever climbed a hill by looking at it. You may come to a point in your life and the way seems too steep. Lord, how am I ever gonna get up there? That's too steep for me to climb. But no man has ever climbed a hill by just standing there and looking at it. If you do that, you'll be defeated in your Christian life. But you just take one step at a time. One step at a time. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in his strength. And next thing you know, you're over the hill. But you do it in the Lord's strength. Trials are God's vote of confidence in us. God's not going to have us to do anything that we're not going to be able to do. If he tells us to do something, he's going to give us the strength to do it. If he wants us to go through a particular trial, he's going to give us the grace and the strength to go through that, as long as we keep our eyes upon him. Now, a ship in harbor is safe, right? But that's not what ships are made for, is it? A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what they're made for. A ship is to get out on the water. The seas may get a little rough. The seas may get choppy. But as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord's not going to let us sink. And when Peter walked on the water, everything was fine until he looked down, started looking at his surroundings. He started to sink. Lord, I perish. But the Lord reaches down and picks him up. And as long as we're out, if we're on the sea, we're looking to the Lord. If we got our eyes upon him, everything's going to be all right. We need to follow the Lord through the good times, through the bad times. We need to feast with the Lord. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how are we going to do that? Through his word. We need to read his word more and more. There's a lot of things in our lives that can detract us from reading God's word. We get so hectic, so rushed. But we need to stay in the book. We have a lifting up, a laying down, a leading out. We have a lifting out. I meant to say the first time, a lifting out, a laying down, a leading out. And now we have a lifting up. It says that he took us out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. We need to lift up our voices. Now, he's put a new song in my heart. I used to listen to rock music. I loved rock music. I hated country music. I never have liked country music. And to this day, I don't like country music. But I don't like rock music either. I don't like contemporary music, where it takes the music of the world and puts Christian words to it. I like music that moves my heart, that makes me look to God. And I love good music. There's a lot of gospel music, I'll be honest with you, that I don't like. But there's some of it I do like. Like I say, I like stuff, like songs that move my heart and not necessarily my feet. And a lot of the gospel songs nowadays, it just moves your feet. But there's some that moves your heart too. And I love good music. I love music that honors and glorifies the Lord. I don't want to listen to rock music anymore. I don't want to listen to any of that stuff anymore. I can't stand it anymore. We need to lift up our hands in praise to God. Whatsoever our hands find to do it with all our might. We need to lift up our hearts in praise and glory to God. We need to lift up our minds, whatsoever things are pure, just, good report. We need to think on these things. We need to lift up our feet. We need to get going for God and tell others of what he's done for us. Those whom God sets at liberty, he sets to work. We need to be busy for the Lord. The Lord's done much for us. And I'm thankful this morning for the deliverance that he's given this morning. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I thank you for setting my feet upon a firm foundation, a true foundation, a secure foundation. I thank you, Lord, for how you've led me all these years through the hard times and through the trials. You've been faithful to me.
And I thank you for that. I thank you for putting a new song in my heart, Lord. And I pray for the people here this morning.
We need to think on these things.
We need to lift up our feet. We need to get going for God and tell others what He's done for us. Those whom God sets at liberty, He sets to work. We need to be busy for the Lord. The Lord's done much for us. And I'm thankful this morning for the deliverance that He's given this morning. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I thank you for setting my feet upon a firm foundation, a true foundation, a secure foundation. I thank you, Lord, for how you've led me all these years through the hard times and through the trials. You've been faithful to me, and I thank you for that. I thank you for putting a new song in my heart, Lord. And I pray for the people here this morning.
We need to think on these things.
We need to lift up our feet. We need to get going for God and tell others what He's done for us. Those whom God sets at liberty, He sets to work. We need to be busy for the Lord. The Lord's done much for us. And I'm thankful this morning for the deliverance that He's given this morning. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I thank you for setting my feet upon a firm foundation, a true foundation, a secure foundation. I thank you, Lord, for how you've led me all these years through the hard times and through the trials. You've been faithful to me, and I thank you for that. I thank you for putting a new song in my heart, Lord. And I pray for the people here this morning.
We need to think on these things.
We need to lift up our feet. We need to get going for God and tell others what He's done for us. Those whom God sets at liberty, He sets to work. We need to be busy for the Lord. The Lord's done much for us. And I'm thankful this morning for the deliverance that He's given this morning. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I thank you for setting my feet upon a firm foundation, a true foundation, a secure foundation. I thank you, Lord, for how you've led me all these years through the hard times and through the trials. You've been faithful to me, and I thank you for that. I thank you for putting a new song in my heart, Lord. And I pray for the people here this morning.
We need to think on these things.
We need to lift up our feet. We need to get going for God and tell others what He's done for us. Those whom God sets at liberty, He sets to work. We need to be busy for the Lord. The Lord's done much for us. And I'm thankful this morning for the deliverance that He's given this morning. Let's pray. My Father, I thank You for Your goodness this morning. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, I thank You for setting my feet upon a firm foundation, a true foundation, a secure foundation. I thank You, Lord, for how You've led me all these years through the hard times and through the trials. You've been faithful to me, and I thank You for that. I thank You for putting a new song in my heart, Lord. And I pray for the people here this morning.
We need to think on these things.
We need to lift up our feet. We need to get going for God and tell others what He's done for us. Those whom God sets at liberty, He sets to work. We need to be busy for the Lord. The Lord's done much for us. And I'm thankful this morning for the deliverance that He's given this morning. Let's pray. That Lord, You might speak to each one here.
I pray that, Lord, anyone that's lost, You might would save them. I pray You deal with us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.